I heard Coach Zimmer's press conference last time, and no, he did not build this room for you, just so you know. I know you guys were excited about that. Before we get started, I do want to wish the Minnesota Wild good luck tonight. I had an opportunity to actually talk to Chuck Fletcher this morning and, you know, just ask how the draft prep was going and everything, and just told him how proud that he and Mike should be about how that Minnesota Wild team is playing and what they have shown in their resiliency through this playoff. So congratulations to them, and hopefully they'll be able to get a win out there tonight. He asked me to come down to the game, and I said, you guys are going to win, so I know next week after this draft is over, I'll get an opportunity to come down and see you play. He did too. I said, I don't know, it's been so long. I mean, this process, and you guys have, you got to be tired of writing about this draft and the mocks and all the scenarios. It's and we're tired too. It's been an extra long time, but also very prepared. And I just have to say, the thing that you love about getting prepared for the draft is the process and the people that you work with. And all our guys, from Scott Studwell to George Payton, all our scouts, and all the work and effort they put and energy they put into this. To Coach Zimmer and to his staff and all the work they put into this. I know our draft meetings structurally were very similar than we've always done in the past. I think, you know, some of the things that were a little different working with the staff is that we can identify the strengths and weaknesses of all the players, but it was really keyed in more into how is this player going to really fit into what we're doing. And it got to a point, you know, at times where Coach Zimmer would draw up a scheme and talk about, well, this particular player, this is how we would use him, this is how he's going to fit in our scheme. Or we'd be on a particular player because we have to grade according to ability. And then you tie into what the coaches are saying on how is it going to all the pieces going to fit together. I think the other thing that's been key is that our coaches being able to work with our current players through that mini camp and working with our players this week. And, you know, I talk with Coach Zimmer every day and just ask, what do you see? Are these, you know, are the guys, specific guys progressing? So I can tell you this, we have a pretty good feel, and our coaches have a pretty good feel now of our current roster, what guys can and can't do, how they can utilize the players on our current roster, which will also kind of give us a little bit of a indicator of which way we may end up going in the draft. So, but very excited about, you know, Thursday night finally getting here, and can't wait to get on the clock. So go ahead with questions.
Through this a number of times, I'm wondering, what do you feel like you've learned in terms of skill set and experience that helps you in the area of potentially moving down in the draft or making moves?
I think we go through the scenarios, and we just went through a four-hour scenario today. And not only in the first round, but if we trade down in the first round, these three players are there. What are you potentially going to do? How would you take them off the board if those three players were there? We do that when we're at our second round pick. We go through all kinds of different mocks. And to me, I know, like I said, it's people get tired of talking about everything. But the more I hear things, the more I can put ourselves in scenarios. When it comes up on draft day, that's what, you know, you have that. You've already kind of experienced what worst thing can happen to you on draft day and how you would react. And I think that's really helped, especially over the last 2 years, of knowing when to move down, when to trade back up, when to go get players that you covet. So I think that's been beneficial, and I love to be active on draft day. You know,
relationships with your peers play into it.
You know, everybody, I think all the GMs that I speak with have respect for each other. I don't think, you know, you're not going to deal with one team because you don't like a person. I know there's been a lot of trades, or I should say a lot of calls coming in just on feelers. I had three yesterday. I already had two texts today. So everybody's just kind of starting to line up their dance partners. Eventually, you know, it doesn't usually happen until it gets on the clock, but at least you know on potential teams who may be interested in coming up into your spot. And, you know, I had an offer from a team for our fourth round pick already. I had an offer for our second round pick already. So if there, and then it always at the end of the text, if our guy is there. So, but those talks are starting right now. I think most GMs like myself are anxious. You know, it's kind of early than it's ever been about the trade stuff. But I think everybody's just anxious and ready to go.
Did you gain anything from having the extra time and this prolonged waiting for the draft? Was there?
I know all weekend I'm just sitting in here shooting more holes in these players. You know, it's how many more times and how much more film can you see? And, you know, putting this together and that together, it's the one thing, though, was beneficial this year was that, you know, when I was tied up with the head coaching search, that in the influx of juniors that came out this year. So it gave me a lot of time to get caught up, but it still seems like forever.
Rick, do you have to guard at all of like the paralysis against paralysis by analysis and really looking too much and trying to find too many faults at this point in guys?
I think everybody goes through that just because you want to make sure you have all the answers. You know, every year I try to add different twists or come up with different ideas how we can improve every year. We added a couple new twists this year from how we look at from an analytical side and came up with some creative ways to look at things differently than I think most teams look, and that became part of the process this year. Again, it's not the answer to the answer, but it's just another angle to look at things.
Rick, what do you see in this class of pass rushers?
There's different flavors. You know, you look at the pass rushers, are they 34 outside linebackers? And that's a lot what you're seeing out of college now. Can they become 4-3 defensive ends? Can those outside 34 pass rushers stand up and play in a stacked position? Can they function in a 4-3? But what you're doing now, and it's just because of the athletes and the type of athletes that are coming out in college, very rarely do you see true 4-3 defensive ends anymore. So you're doing a lot of projecting on how this guy, if you're a 43 scheme, how this guy's going to fit in. Is he going to grow into a defensive end? Is he just going to be a DPR, a designated pass rusher? Can this guy, does he have the athletic ability to maybe play behind the line of scrimmage from a stacked position, but also utilize his skills as a pass rusher on third down? So as we sit there and go through all these different athletes, and they all have different traits, that's where it's key when you sit there and you listen to your coaching staff and say, yeah, I can see how he fits in our scheme because we can use him like this, this, and this.
Is there depth in that position this year in this draft?
I think there is. I think there's going to be depth throughout the draft, even through the mid-rounds. There'll be some guys that are those 34/ DPRs types.
There's been some speculation that Aaron Donald could be a guy you might take. With that in mind,
who?
Aaron Donald, there's been some speculation he could be a guy you take. With that in mind, how do you and Mike Zimmer feel about the, you know, long-term future of Sharif Floyd?
Oh, Sharif Floyd's going to be a very good football player for us. And, you know, when you look at this, you can never have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough defensive linemen. You can never have enough corners and enough cover guys on the back end, because of the way the league's evolving. Even when you're looking, we're very excited about where Sharif is at this point. You know, from where he came, from where he was last year, the weight loss, the dedication he's shown, how he's fitting in this scheme. Very excited about to see what he's going to evolve in. But that does not preclude us from taking another inline pass rusher, because how many times during a game are you in nickel situations? I mean, you're going to be probably more in nickel and 42 packages than you are in your base standard package. So the more pass rushers, the more pressure you can get on those quarterbacks, the fresher you can keep those guys, that becomes valuable.
What spots do you see as the deepest this year?
Oh, you know, everybody's talking about the receiver. I know I'd be shocked if someone didn't ask me about a quarterback question here, but I can get you started on it. I think there are quarterbacks at particular spots in this draft which makes it a pretty deep draft class. You know, I think the offensive tackles, I think there's some very good offensive linemen in this draft. I think it's stronger maybe on the offensive side than it is on the defensive side. But there are some very good players on the defensive side of the ball as well.
What did you learn from that 2011 draft, and how does it kind of shape what you do going into this year?
You know, everybody I know, and I'm going to get criticized, and I take full responsibility for, you know, Christian Ponder, is he a bust or is not a bust? I know right now, and traveling with Norv and going to all these, I think we went to 9 or 10 different quarterback public workouts, plus we did them privately as well, had private meetings with them. There's just listening and as I said before, all these stars have to line up. Now, I know how Norv feels about Matt Cassel, and I know how Norv feels about Christian Ponder right now at this time and where we think we are with those two and where they potentially are going to be coming up next year as well. So, but Christian's still a very young quarterback, and he showed flashes, but he just hasn't been as consistent as you wanted yet.
How does that shape with knowing what you went through in 2011?
You can't be afraid. If there's a, regardless of position, if there's a guy there that you have strong feelings for, whether it's at 8 or 40 or wherever it is, or 16, then you take him. I mean, the one thing you cannot be afraid of this job is to take chances or take risk on guys that you feel strongly about. And when you don't do that, then I don't know how you get better. So to me, you always have to be aggressive. You have to do things that you're going to think are going to help your football club and help you win ball games on Sunday. And you always have to have that mentality and that approach.
A bit more bunched up this year when you talk about, you know, maybe a number one rated guy versus number 6 or 7, a little closer in talent than in past years.
You know, I don't know how other teams feel. We have them in specific areas. I would say that if we covered a quarterback at 8, and let's say the next quarterback we would not touch until the second round, then we're going to sit there and be patient and wait. That's where we have them. If it comes to us, great. If not, we're going to get another very good football player and move on. We have quarterbacks lined up, I would say, throughout the draft at different rounds where we feel comfortable taking them. We only have 2, so I know we need to get a third as well.
How many quarterbacks in this class would you take at 8?
Why don't you just ask me the name, and I would just give you the names that I like as well.
Unnamed, though, it's 1.
No, there's specific quarterbacks we may potentially like in the first. There's specific quarterbacks we like not in the first, but like in the second. There's specific quarterbacks we like in the third. There's specific quarterbacks we like in the fourth. There's specific quarterbacks we like in the fifth. There's specific quarterbacks we'd want to sign as college free agents.
7th. Nobody in the 6th and 7th.
Unless they slide.
Due to the depth in this draft, Rick, is this a good draft potentially to accumulate extra picks?
I enjoy that part of the draft. It makes it fun. I could tell you at 8, if there's a player there, and we've already had these discussions, and we'll finalize that on Thursday. No one knows who we're going to take right now. I have pretty good indication I feel the direction we need to go, but I'm going to keep that to myself till Thursday. But if there's a guy there that we just says we don't want to pass, he's too big an impact for us, then we're going to take him. If I can see that there's depth, that if we drop back X amount of spots and we're still going to get a good football player, I would love to do that and pick up extra picks if I can.
Does this draft, though, maybe have more depth than some recent drafts?
In some positions, yes.
Will 8 have to start? When you pick 8, will you pick with that person, that player in mind to start?
It depends who that player is. So, and it depends how quickly he comes along. And the players that we have talked about at 8 are across the board, offense and defense, were in a very strong spot in the draft where, you know, you can look at every spot on defense, there's a potential player there. You can look at spots on offense besides quarterback. The people would not, and there's no way that's not a need. Well, that may be a need that guy can come in and help this year, but he's sure in the heck going to be a impact player for us down the road as well, whether that's receiver or whatever.
How many of these quarterbacks do you potentially see developing into starters?
Well, that's all the prediction part. And you listen to Norv, you listen to his expertise and what he thinks, and we listen to Scott Turner as well, and you take all that in. But I also have to listen to my scouts. Those guys know these guys the best from the background, from how hard they work, all the holes that come with them. But I think that position is the hardest to predict because it's so unpredictable. To me, it's either you're the franchise guy or you're not good enough. And that's why teams are always trying to find that franchise guy.
What does Coach Zimmer get involved here? Is he more looking at the defensive guys? If Turner's looking at the offense?
He sat through everyone. He sat through every position that we went through. We went through 8 days of position meetings, and Coach Zimmer was in every single meeting. And I think it's important for him to understand, you know, if we take an offensive player, this is why we're taking him. If we take a defensive player, this is why we're taking him. He has to understand the strategy going into this and why we're selecting the players we're selecting.
On what side of the ball do you feel like your football team right now is the strongest?
You know, coming off of last season, I would say in the offensive side. But I know by us being able to do what we did in free agency this year, going out and be very aggressive to fill a lot of holes on that defensive line, to go out and get a captain, Mundelin, to help at Nick, that gave us the flexibility in this draft to just go by the board and take the best player up there. So, and, you know, that'll all be determined, Larry, as we go into the season. But I felt that we had more holes to get filled on defense than we did on offense. You know, we've been not very good on defense the last couple of years and last year. So we made a very conscientious effort to go out there and get those holes filled in free agency, and that may continue in a draft.
Rick, do you feel like you have a good handle on what's going to happen in the 7 picks
Yes.
ahead of you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So mock drafts change daily around here, and so it seems a little bit more muddled.
You guys, I think, and I've, you know, read the mocks too. Everybody reads the mocks because, you know, we're tired of yelling at each other. So at night I read the mocks and kind of get caught up on things, and you guys are missing some names on our spot at 8. I can tell you that.
When you say, did you have a pretty good indication of who you would take at 8? How many people in the organization also know who that person is?
Right now, no one. We've had multiple discussions. No one.
What do you recall?
Yes.
Hey, Rick, you mentioned you've had inquiries or texts or offers. Can you say if those included Ponder, people trying to trade
No.
for Ponder?
Nope. No, I'm not going to comment on who or what, but I can tell you that no. And Ponder, we wouldn't trade Ponder.
How do you
trade
during the draft?
Huh?
You would not trade him during the draft?
No.
How do you assess your linebackers going into Thursday?
You know, that's one area we'll look at. But I think there's some value with the linebackers through the middle rounds. There's going to be some guys there, and even in that fourth and fifth round that are potential guys. The coaches are experimenting now with the current guys we have, you know, the development of where Hodges is coming and where Mahdi is coming from last year, where Audie Cole fits into the picture. Chad Greenway seems healthy and has had a great offseason so far. So, we signed Jasper Brinkley back. They're trying to figure out all that as we go through, and that's what this offseason is for.
Can a rookie middle linebacker step in very often and grasp what you have to grasp in the NFL and play?
I think it's always a learning curve, but there are some guys that won't have an issue. I mean, a lot of that is based off of not only what you get to school from what the coaches tell you, but from all our, you know, two different psychological testing and intelligence testing, if they're going to be able to do it. And then we follow up with that on personal interviews. And I sit there and ask the scout or the coach directly, if I didn't talk to the guy, can this guy learn our system? Is it going to take any, or is he going to take some time? And they'll tell me specifically, this guy will have no issues, or this guy may take some time.
Rick, you often refuse to rule anything out. Why would you rule out trading Ponder?
Huh?
Why would you rule out trading Ponder?
That would leave us with one quarterback. I would not do that. We're going to need two quarterbacks.
Three.
You chose not to pick up his fifth-year option. What was the reason behind that?
I'll keep it to purely business decisions, and we just wanted to make sure we kept all our options going forward, especially financially going into the next year.
Rick, what kind of asset has North been just as an experienced guy, especially when you are looking at quarterbacks and evaluating that group?
The one thing that, and we have an experienced coaching staff, and even with Coach Zimmer and Norv and Kirby Wilson and a lot of the new coaches as well, some of our old coaches, this guy reminds me of this guy that I coached 3 years ago. So not only are we getting specifics on how he can or cannot fit into our scheme, we're also getting specific type of players or players that they have coached in the past that they remind them of.
What will be the involvement or communication with the Wilfs on draft night?
I've spoken with Ziggy last night. I think I've spoken with Mark last night today. I think I speak with them almost on a daily basis. So they will know, you know, I talked to Mark for 45 minutes today and threw seven or eight names at him and just tell him we're going through the process.
And then on draft night when you make the decisions, what's the communication or involvement there?
None. You know, they're sitting right next to me. So I'm not going to say, hey... No, I'm going to tell them who we're taking, but they're going to know before the draft. I'm going to say this is what I'm thinking, and depending on how, you know, the draft unfolds. And, you know, we got into as much detail as our three options, you know. Do we take this player, we take this player, we take this player, or do we just go ahead and trade back? So we're going to, and if we can get, you know, I'm going to look at when we're on the clock. If we do get an opportunity to trade back, is it worth it to trade back? Or is it that we just have to take this player?
A lot of talk about the depth in the draft. Are those later pick, you know, the thirds, the fourths, are they a little more valuable this time around?
I think so. I think you can get some very good players through those that second day. And to me, we had a pretty boring Friday last year, but I would take a boring Friday for what we're able to get done on Thursday any day.
Does TCF Bank Stadium enter in at all that you're playing there for 2 years?
Gopher Stadium does not enter in at all. We still have to go out and play outdoors, you know. We still got to go play in Chicago. We still got to go play in Green Bay. So now it has no bearing whatsoever. We're going to get football players, guys that we want that can help us win.
What are your thoughts on all the underclassmen, and how many at the end of this draft do you predict will be still undrafted waiting for a job in the NFL?
You know, I know it seems to be growing and growing every year, and I can't give you an explanation why. I know the NFL has tried to work extremely hard with the colleges to try to keep these kids in, especially if they're not going to be first-round graded players. But each kid, as you sit there and talk to them, have specific reasons why they're coming out. You know, sometimes it's family issues. Sometimes it's, you know, he wasn't eligible to play next year anyway. So there's many different reasons why players do come out.
So how many do you think after that seventh round is over are still going to be out there?
I don't know. I'll wait and see. I don't know if it'll be that much. It could be.
Time for two more.
Rick, there's a report out there that you guys talked to the Rams about Sam Bradford. I mean, even if not him specifically, is that an area that you might look to
that
address
is not,
in a trade?
Yeah. I have not had any specific talks with the Rams.
Rick, given the way that offense has evolved and the quarterback position has evolved over the years, how at all has that changed the way that you guys look for traits in the guys that chase that passer?
That's a huge part of it, because you have to have the speed upfield to be able to, you know, run down or contain these athletic quarterbacks. And just like it evolved in college, I think some of that's evolving at our level now too. Now there's still the great pocket passers, but I don't know if you're seeing less and less pocket passers and more athletic types that not only can win with their arm but can win with their feet. So you better be able to match up athletically on the defensive side of the ball as well.